Interlude 2-0. At the heart of the Raven Guard battle barge, Wings of Deliverance, the sphere of councils hung suspended by a thousand clanking chains. Built into the arched windows of the armored sphere were baffles and dampeners that prevented the slightest whisper from getting out of its lead-lined walls. Inside the strange construction was a toroid loop of polished bone. The names of the chapter's heroes were inscribed upon it in tiny, spidery script. 10 figures stood around it, united in silence, if not appearance. Each of their faces was cast in shadow by the candelabras dangling above. The atmosphere was thick with trails of verity incense that wound around power-armored space marine and uniformed human alike. The figures had been standing around the bone toroid inside the sphere for the best part of 6 hours.
"This is futile,"
blurted Kosaru Khan, throwing his hands up for what seemed like the 10th time that day.
"There is simply no time for the waiting game. We must strike back at these upstart Tau. Finish what we started on Agrellon. Sever the head, and the body will die."
His words were met only with a stony absence of reply. Up in the dome above, a perched corvid cawed its ill omens. "Perhaps," said Chapter Master Severax, his sonorous tones resonating around the chamber,
"perhaps it is that same haste that has led us to this point, Captain Khan. A foe with the power of flight is not easily slain by an earthbound blade. We must strike unseen."
"But even should we find a location for this ambush," protested the Khan, "what guarantee is there that she will take the bait? That Xenos the Tau war leader is highly intelligent. I want her head silvered and spiked on the walls of Quanzhou more than any other warrior in the Imperium. I swore an oath to do so. But she will not fall so easily to a base ploy. We must strike hard and true before she has a chance to prepare. I favor aggressive warp translation, then a killing strike."
"Even if it were successful, Khan, that would doom us all," said Patriarch Tybalt, twisting his long goatee beard around a beringed finger. "We cannot engage the Tau Armada in fleet-to-fleet combat and hope to prevail. Our best hope is to use their overconfidence against them. A warrior with a newly forged sword is always keen to test the blade."
"The old tortoise has a point," drawled Colonel Strachan,
drawing cold daggers from the Patriarch opposite.
"We're on the edge of their empire here. That means their nearest strongholds are a good sight closer than ours."
"So?"
put in Sudaba, his dislike of the Catachan plain.
"So we hit them hard. They hit us back even harder. This time they do it for keeps. They got old Agrellon sewn up good and tight. Took the whole planet down in the space of a day. You're a fool if you think they didn't let us evacuate. All the better for their propaganda vids. You can bet your straggly beard on that. But if we lure them further into the Imperium, goad them into a trap, well, they won't be able to resist rolling out those shiny new suits for the pick thieves. Spread them thin enough, cover the skies, and we can close them down."
"We've been over this,"
said Kaivan Shrike, his fingers planted in the corners of his eyes. Wax dripped from one of the candelabras above him, but the Shadow Captain pivoted fast, and the trickle missed his power armor by a finger's breadth.
"All this strategy is of no use without a battlefield to enact it,"
he said, setting his feet once more as the gloom surrounded him like a funeral shroud. Severax stared hard at Tybalt, though only Shrike caught the meaning of the glare.
Very well, said the Patriarch testily. We shall use Voltoris herself as our castle, much as it pains me to suggest it. She is shielded from sight by the Damocles Gulf, though we can lead the foe there easily enough. With our fleet on the coreward side of the planet, we will give the impression that our portcullis is unbarred.
The room lapsed into silence once more. Any world that stood in the path of the Tau Empire's relentless expansion would bear heavy scars indeed.
But how will we know where the Tau will strike, even if they do take the bait?
Said Corsaro, his tone full of polite respect.
Volturus has but one city, Captain Khan,
Tybalt sighed.
Furion Peak, seat of my throne, abode of my sons and grandsons, and the pride of House Terrin. The rest of the land is either forest or desolate mountain range. Put simply, the planet has nothing else of consequence to conquer.
There were murmurs from around the toroid. The Khan shared a glance with Sudaba before nodding his assent.
We set a snare at the peak, and wait for them to wander into it, said Corsaro. I suppose that could work.
Quite so, continued Tybalt. Patience is the key. If we use Volturus as bait, and we shall know the exact location of where they will aim their blade, the skies will tell us of the timing.
Corvin Severax's lips curled, the tiniest hint of gratitude tinging his ashen features. Tybalt smiled back, though there was no mirth in it, and plenty of bitter steel.
Thank you for your offer, Patriarch Tybalt, said Severax. On behalf of the Imperium, we recognize the sacrifice to come, and thank House Terrin for every life it gives.
Thousands of my people will die, no doubt, said Tybalt, sighing heavily. I suppose at least it'll liven the place up a bit.
Commander Shadowsun shut the iris door to her quarters behind her, glad of a moment's respite. She splashed water on her face, rubbing her eyes hard before shuffling over to the concave egg of her bed. She was too tired to even take off her armored body glove. She'd do it in a moment, she thought, lulled by the soft purr of the ship's engines. Just a few minutes of rest first. It had been so long. Suddenly the side door that led into her war room hissed open. The supreme ethereal drifted through on a cushion of antigrav, his robes of state billowing around him. Shadowsun shot out of her bed only to fall down once more into a skidding kneel, her head bowed as her mind scrambled to full alert.
Oh, Shazera, boomed Aunvar,
the supreme ethereal every bit as real as the pooling hydration fluids that Shadowsun had spilled across the floor.
I find you ill-prepared for war.
I offer contrition, master, she blurted. I merely sought to meditate on a military phenomenon that disturbs me.
Indeed. I have another matter for you to consider.
Master,
she said, eyes cast low.
The progress of our expansion throughout the Dovar system is on track once more, despite the setbacks you placed in its path. Our inaction of Mont-Kah upon Agrellon was a resounding success. For this, the Empire thanks you. Scenes from the breaching of Agrellon Prime have been optimized and subsequently broadcast to every screen in the Empire.
I am honored, Master.
Yet our work is far from done.
I realize that to be the case, O Supreme One.
You do not, said Aunvar, his eyes wide. You do not.
He hovered over to Shadow Sun's meager possessions and picked out a holosphere from amongst them, gazing idly at the images of himself that were projected from its faceted core.
I sense that my magnanimous decision to allow our foes to leave Agrellon gnaws at your warrior heart, my child. You wish to bring death to the barbarian war leader you encountered there.
You are as wise and perspicacious as ever, Supreme One.
It is a matter to which I have given much thought.
The Supreme Ethereal turned to Shadow Sun, drifting over to where she knelt on the floor to loom above her. He spread his arms out at his sides, his robes of state floating around him. Though Shadow Sun was still kneeling on the floor, she could feel his majesty filling the room.
I am allowing you a single chance to hunt down and destroy those who you allowed to escape, O Chasseurer. You will be given the necessary material to ensure their destruction. I have seconded half the fleet to the course. The other half shall continue the pacification of the Dovar system under my guidance.
Master, I swear to you that it shall be done,
enthused Shadow Sun, though inside of her something broke.
My thanks can never be sufficient.
Indeed, they cannot. You will repay my faith by destroying the Gweiron Shah and their allies as soon as they make planetfall, ending them one and all. O Kenyon will accompany you. Once this is done, you may return to the expeditionary fleet and attend me once more.
Of course, Master. I shall send out far-ranging surveillance drones with immediate effect. I long to leave, to enact Mont-Car upon our foes, so that I may sooner return to your side.
Then make your preparations immediately. I expect you to have mustered your cadres and launched your fleet before the deck is out.
It shall be so, Supreme One,
said Shadow Sun, her head bowed so low she could smell the faint antiseptic whiff of her master's hemmed robes.
Farewell, then, and may the greater good guide you,
said Aunvar, turning with stately grace to drift out of the iris portal that led to the main corridor and the ethereal guard that now waited outside. Shadow Sun stayed kneeling in supplication until the iris door hissed closed. Once she was certain she was alone, she let her forehead slowly cover the last few centimeters to the cool, hard floor. Spume glittered diamond bright as Voltorus's verdigris sea lapped softly onto the shoreline. Wavelets, rich in photosynthetic algae, swilled onto the wet sands, and as they receded once more, iridescent crabs darted sidelong to feed on the tiny shrimps. Barefooted children splashed and played near the waterline, laughing in joy as the crustaceans scuttled crazily between them. Far to the west, a croctar hauled its tentacled bulk onto a shelf of flat stone, sunning itself in the infrared rays of the planet's crimson sun. The children shrieked at the beast's appearance, pointing and making finger tentacles close to their faces. The tallest of the children called out, his face stern as he pointed to his servo skull's chronometric. He motioned to the winding path that wound back through the thick forest. The smaller youngsters reluctantly gathered their little nets and headed into the verdant eaves, inspecting the prizes they would show their parents upon their return. The path wound up and up, avoiding the howler dens and quagmires that dotted the forest that led to the Furian Plateau. Several kilometers away, a massive fortress pushed its towers high from its perch atop the peak. Forbidding and terrible to most, but a safe haven to the children making their way towards it. The little group passed underneath the thick canopy and into the verdant gloom. They swung sticks they had recovered from the jungle path as they went, telling each other tall tales of terrible monsters and brave knights. In the skies high above, a cluster of distant spaceships burnt their way across the firmament, shooting stars to most, but death itself to the people of Furion Peak.